Let's go ahead and get our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Mark. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we're going to begin reading this morning at verse number 35. Mark chapter 10, verse number 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. I want to stop right here and say a lot of Christians are like that, ain't they?
Amen.
Just whatever we tell you, God, you do it.
Yeah.
Huh. Verse number 36, and he said unto them, what would you that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand, the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Glad to have you with us today, Brother Gentry. Would you pray that God bless this message?
Yes, sir. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you've already made yourself known.
Yes, amen.
Thank you for that. Without you, Lord, we've all been in vanity
worth nothing. Amen.
Thank you that you give us a freedom, you give us a place.
Thank you, Lord.
And hear your word. Thank you for every song and song this morning.
Yes.
Thank you now, Lord, as we go to the best part of the service.
Yes.
Please.
Yes, Lord. Help
me.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. You may be seated this morning. I'd like for you to please notice the passage that we just read. And what I want to do is call your attention here in this passage that James and John come to our Lord and they make a request that cannot be granted. And what they do is they desire that our Lord allow them to sit one on the left side of Christ and one on the right side of Christ in glory. And Jesus says to him, he says, you don't know what you're asking for, man. He says, you know not what you ask. And then the Lord proceeds to tell them that those positions are there for those whom it is prepared. You don't get that position just because you ask for it. It is reserved for the ones God decides to put there. In our society today, and might I mention in the local church, people have adopted this thinking of, I guess how we put it out in the world, I want my cake and be able to eat it too. I wish you could do that. That'd be a good concept to me. I'd like to have my cake and eat it too. I'd like to eat it and it'd just be there again, and then eat it again and it'd be there again. But you can't have your cake and eat it too. Everybody okay this morning? This is a very dead crowd. What? Anybody going to amen or throw the ball back this morning? It would be a lot better. Be a lot better. Please. Focus on what's going on here. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. That would really help it go by a lot more painless. Which leads me to this next thing here. We have a saying out in the world that says you go into a gym, it says no pain, no gain. What that means is that if you want a small belly and big arms and big legs, there's going to be some pain involved. But we don't want that. See, what folks want is, men want to walk around with a small gut and big arms and big legs and lay on the couch and eat Doritos and drink Coca-Colas.
Amen. Amen.
But it don't happen like that. And what Jesus is trying to tell James and John here is you're asking for something. And you're wanting something just because you asked for it. But it just don't work like that, fellas. And let me just tell you where we are today in our society and in the local church. As I was saying, I'm just going to tell you plain and straight, this is where we are. People of the day want what they want without giving up anything.
Yeah.
without changing anything, without implementing anything, or without sacrificing anything. And what I have to say about that is the title of this message this morning. You can't have it like that. It does not work like that. Now my plans is to spend the next few Sunday mornings and Sunday nights addressing this flawed thinking. It's a very flawed thinking that we have here in our country and in our society. It's in the local church. And I'm going to give you some example of some of those folks that seem to desire without any cost or sacrifice. That's what we have. We have a couple of generations on the scene, brother, that they think they have this sense of entitlement. They desire to have things, but they don't want to sacrifice nothing, don't want to give up nothing, don't want to have to forfeit anything. No pain, no gain. I want what I want because I ask it and I think I deserve it. Have a lot of Burger King Christians, don't we? Have it your way. And I'm just going to bring some of these things to your attention and at the very least remind you of several of them. Now, I'll probably just cover one point this morning because I really want to focus on that. Let's just stop right here. Brother Russell, would you pray? I don't know what's going on, but I want you to pray, please.
Dear Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I just come to you now, Lord, and just the best way we know how is to shed blood, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you'd come in here. I pray that you'd rebuke any unclean thing. Lord, I pray that you'd cast it out. I pray that you would get the free image, Lord, not the distraction. Lord, not what's going on. Lord, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lord, but I know you know. Lord, I pray that you'd cover this sanctuary in your shed blood.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that anything unclean that would be rebuked would be here, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing that's going to happen later or anything like that, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would come and show up tonight or today, dear Lord.
Yes. Amen.
I pray that we could just get a glimpse of you.
Yes.
That, Father, you could just touch me with heart.
Yes.
Lord, I pray you'd be real to us and it wouldn't be fake, dear Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you do something special here now.
Amen. Amen. All right. You can't have it like that. We'll just cover one point this morning and then we'll get started back on it tonight. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to rush it. I'm not going to try to get through. I don't know how many Sunday mornings and Sunday nights it'll take me, but this is such an issue in our country. It's such an issue in our society today. It's crept into the local church. Bible believers, especially the younger generation, have got this fake nonsense and concept in their mind. It has to be addressed. There's just some things that you can't have like you want it like that, and you can't have it without sacrifice or giving up something or implementing something. So I think today, since Monday, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July. I think we'll just start out with this point. Number one, you cannot have a great country without God. You just can't do it. Now, Monday, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July. We call that Independence Day. And we will commemorate the adoption of the Declaration of the Independence on July the 4th, 1776. That's when the 13 American colonies, you know your history, claimed their independence from England. And man, we're going to have a good time Monday. There'll be folks all across this country barbecuing, and there'll be eating some ice cream and eating some watermelon and folks that go swimming, and they'll be popping fireworks and firecrackers and having a good time, and people will be celebrating that. And I understand that, and I understand that, but let me just say this. If I were to stand up here this morning and give you a State of the Union address, I would entitle it, "We Are in Trouble." Now you can go have all the festivities you want to and celebrate the 4th of July and wear your tie. I got my little flag tie on this morning, and put your flags out in front of your house and just hoop it up and all that stuff. Listen, I understand all that, but let me just tell you something. This nation is in trouble with God. You know why? Because this nation thinks it can be great apart from God, and that's a lie straight from hell. It doesn't work like that. Now, in case some of you, you know, you ain't patriotic, you whatever, oh, hush your mouth. I served in the National Guard. My daddy served in the National Guard. My mother's father was a paratrooper in World War II. My daddy's great-great-grand, I don't know how many great-granddaddies was, fought at Gettysburg and was a prisoner of war up there. So don't tell me that I don't love America. I just love God more than America. I just love what God says more than I do. What a bunch of crazy people are marching around here. God bless America. What do you mean, God bless America? You know what you think? You think God ought to just keep pouring it on us. And just keep blessing us while we get further and further and further away from God. And you're crazy. It don't work like that. But we just got this sense of entitlement. Now listen. Listen to me very carefully. I'm not going to criticize people. Or I've even heard some Bible believers mock folks. If you want to pray for America, help yourself. If I'm not going to ridicule you if you want to go to see at the polls and take back America and go to march on at the Capitol, whatever. Help yourself. I'm not going to mock and make fun of nobody that likes to see this country turn righteous. I'm not. I'm not going to do that like some of the Bible believers do. But if you think we're going to have revival in this country, you're crazy. You think this country is going to turn back to God, you're crazy. This country ain't even thinking of man. They are in full speed ahead away from God. And the only hope is the Christians, and most Christians ain't worth the gunpowder it'd take to blow them up. There's not going to be any national revival. There's not going to be any turning back. I tell you what's going to happen with this country. Impending judgment is coming. It's coming soon to a country near you. Amen. Now, the Bible says this. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We love that verse, don't we? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, thank God for that verse. But if that verse is true, and I believe it, don't you? Then the opposite has to be true. If God be against you, who can be for you? Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm not worried about Russia. God can protect us from Russia. I'm not worried about North Korea. God can protect us from North Korea. I'm not worried about China. God can protect us from China. I'm not worried about ISIS. If God wants to, He'll kill every Muslim that's ever lived. But who is going to protect us from God?
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody can stop God.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the greatest military in the world. Oh, man, shut up.
Yeah.
You think what our little weapons of warfare are going to do anything against God?
Yeah.
See, some of you don't like that. You don't like that because you've got this mentality that somehow because I'm born in America, we're different than everybody else. God's just going to overlook us. God's going to excuse us. God's going to let us get by. And that's a fallacy. He did not let His chosen people get by. You ever read the Bible? You ever read the Old Testament? God chose them long before He ever thought about America. God chose that group of people over any people in the world. And you know what He did? He come down on them and He judged them. And He sent pagan Gentile nations in there time and time and time again to destroy them.
Amen.
Take them into captivity. And we think just because we can sing a bunch of patriotic songs and have our flag out and just wave it, and oh, God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of us. He has, because He's just a good and He's just a merciful.
Amen.
But you think we're just going to keep going like we're going and not have judgment?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what we want. You know what we want? We want a great country without God.
Amen.
We want our economy to do good. We want to have the good medical care. We want to have good jobs. We want to see people employed, make good wages. We want to see a strong military. No country can whip us. We're just strong. We dominate. We're above everybody else, but we want to do it all. And don't you ask me to worship God or think about God or refer to God or even care about what God wants. It don't happen like that. You know what that Bible says? Read it sometime. Psalm 9:17. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God."
Amen.
This nation has forgotten God and is on its way to hell. The judgment of God's coming.
Yes,
I'll tell you, if God takes His hand completely off this place, Peru would whip us.
Yes,
don't even know if they got a military. Anybody would whip us. Oh no, brother. Oh no. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We spent millions and billions on this. We got the advanced weaponry and we got the best trained soldiers in the world. You're cuckoo.
Yeah.
You're crazy. You've lost touch with reality. The Bible says, God says that the earth is His footstool. You know, and now if the earth is God's footstool, then that means America is about that big. You know what that means? God can take America in His hand and crush it. Every tank we got, every gun we got, every nuclear warhead we got, just some tribe down there in Amazon that ain't even got electricity can whip us.
Amen.
See, you don't believe that. You've been brainwashed. You just looked at all the hype and all the stuff, and you just think we can do this thing independent of God because we're so great. Why do you think there's ever been any greatness in this country?
There we go.
It's been because of God's blessing.
Amen.
That's the only reason. I was smiling this morning because Brother Steve was talking about Balaam. And this goes in with our country. Balaam is a prophet in the Old Testament, and Balak wants him to curse Israel. And the problem is that God don't want him to curse Israel. And Numbers 23:8, it says, Balaam responds to Balak. He says, "How shall I curse when God hath not cursed?" And here's the thing, he said, "I can't curse Israel because God hasn't cursed Israel." And listen, you can't bless what God has cursed, and we can't curse what God has blessed. I'm going to tell you something now, you listen to me. Along with our just unrighteous, ungodly living, this country is getting more and more anti-Semitic. We got people in government and in the White House, and they're more and more against that Jew. Now everybody look up here at me. You better off being against your own family. You better off being against whatever you are. If you're Scottish or Irish or German or whatever, you're better off being against Scottish, Irish, German, or whatever than you are being against that Jew. That Jew is God's chosen person, and I don't care that they've rejected Christ. I don't care they got a veil over their face. I don't care if a majority of them are going to hell. That's between them and God. What's between you and God is how we treat that Jew. And I'm telling you what, this nation is getting farther and farther and farther away from helping that Jew and wanting to take care of that Jew and being a friend to Israel. And I'm telling you what, that's going to be the last nail in the coffin when we turn against them. The last nail in the coffin. But we think we should be independent of God. It don't matter how we treat the Jew. It don't matter what God says. We are self-sufficient. We've done it all. Look how great we are. You can't have it like that. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. You can't do it. It doesn't work that way. Here's your little 3 points, if there is going to be any outline here this morning to this message. Number one, you know what people in America want? They want safety without sovereign rule. And the Bible does say the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Everybody's all upset about them taking away your guns and everything, and they ain't gonna take, pry my gun out of my cold dead hand. That's exactly what they'll do.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't care if you have a gun. I got a house full of them. Well, let me just tell you something. Somebody breaks in your house, I don't mean that gun's going to protect you. What about if it don't go off? What about if it misfires? What about if the criminal beats you to the draw? Safety is of the Lord. It don't matter if it's you in your house or in this church, in a public place, or a country. You prepare the horse for the day of battle. Yes, you do be prepared. But when you go into battle, you better know the battle will be won if the Lord wants you to win it.
Amen.
But that's what we want. We want safety and we want God to protect us and take care of us without Him ruling over us. Number two, we want substance without the Scriptures. We want all the blessings that we fat Americans have. We want all the food. We just stuff our guts. We can't even hardly get up and walk around. And if it's hot, we complain and shoot the air conditioner on. If it's cold, we shoot the heat on. And we complain if we don't have two or three cars in the garage and everything else. But well, we don't want to care what His book said. We don't want to care what His written word said. We don't want to do what God told us to do. We just want Him to keep pouring the blessings on. Just keep pouring them on. Can't have it like that. And then we want salvation without His Son. Hey man, we're a melting pot. America's a melting pot. We're all here. You want it? Let's do it the Buddha way. Let's do it Confucius way. Let's do it all the Eastern religious ways. Let's do it the Muslim. You know what you got here in America? You can make fun of Christianity all you want to. You can talk about it. You can ridicule the students. You can send them to the principal's office if they're praying. You know, you can have some big to-do where a fella's praying at a ball game in a public school and the principal runs up there and stops them and then it goes before the school board or some kind of big lawsuit. All that junk goes on all the time, but you better not ever say nothing against a Muslim. You better not ever say nothing against ISIS. You better not ever call them radical Muslims. You can make fun of Christianity all you want to. You know what we think? We think, you know what? There's many ways to God. You take the high road, I take the low road. We'll just all meet together. You're crazy. You're not meeting together. You don't get salvation without the Son. Well, that's what we want. We don't want God. We don't want His book. We don't need His Savior. We want just a hodgepodge. We just want every kind of religion, every kind of thing in here, and everybody doing that which is right in his own eyes. Nothing to govern me. Nothing to restrict me. Nothing to tell me what's right and wrong. I do what I think is right. You do what you think is right. What gives you the right to tell me what's right and wrong? I can decide what's right and wrong. Listen, man, there's got to be a standard somewhere.
Amen.
If you don't have a standard somewhere by which we go by, then everybody's opinion is just as good as another person's about what's right, what's wrong, what's legal, what's illegal. I tell you where the standard is, brothers, in this King James Bible. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's the standard. We don't want that.
That's good.
You know what we want? We want a great, prosperous country. But forget God. Forget Him. We don't want Him. It just don't work like that. It's not going to work like that. Everybody wants their rights, but nobody wants to do what's right. You ever notice that? Everybody's always wanting to picket and march and scream and protest and put up some kind of big to-do in this country. From the west to the east coast to the west coast, north, south, just everybody's just marching and I wasn't done right here and I don't want, listen man, everybody wants their rights, but nobody wants to do what's right. You know what you want? You know what this country wants? This country wants the blessings of God without being righteous. This country wants the blessings of God without being righteous. This country wants the blessings of God without being righteous. I want all the stuff. I want God to take care of us. I want God to protect us. I want God to be, I want, you know, but hey, don't ask me to live right. You can't have it like that. You just can't do it. You know what we have in this country? Got murder and rape and homosexuality and folks making fun of Christians. Millions and millions, and I ever have in the last 30 or 40 years, millions of babies being killed. And we just think it's all right. And we think we can just keep doing that. But God, you just keep pouring it on. You just keep pouring. You know what I am? There's that old doomsday preacher. There's that old end of the world preacher. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. That's what you think about preachers like me. Why has he got to be so negative? He's going to ruin my picnic. Why has he got to come? You hear how he's talking about, he must be anti-America. I'm anti-sin.
Amen.
America's full of it.
Yeah.
Full of it. I'm halfway patriotic, but I am much more concerned about what my Heavenly Father says. And if he looks down here and says this nation stinks in its nostrils, then I'm going to get up in the pulpit and say, this nation stinks in its nostrils.
Amen.
Amen. We want a great country without God. We don't want them in our government. We don't want them in our schools. Don't want them in our military. Don't want them in our home. The average church don't want them. God, we don't need you. No, God, don't mess up a good thing here. We got a few families in here that can control this stuff. I'm not speaking about our church. I'm speaking about churches in general. We got a death grip. We already got the bylaws. This is how we want to do it. This is how the convention told us to do it. This is how my great-granddaddy that helped build this thing told us to do it. God, don't confuse us with the facts now. We've already got bylaws that thick, but we can't quote you two scriptures out of the Bible. We're going to run the church like we want to run it. And you think God's going to sit up there in heaven and go, you know what? What was I thinking? You can do a much better job than me. I'm so sorry. That's what we want. We want God out of everything except when there's a tragedy, except when there's a problem, except when there's a need. You can't have it like that. Do you hear me this morning? You can't have it like that. You're not going to have it like that. I remember back in 9/11 when that hit. The next Sunday, the churches were full. You know what they were playing on the TV? Do you remember that? God bless America, united we stand, one nation under God, people going to church. We in much, much, much worse shape spiritually after 9/11 than we were before. You know why? Because after 9/11, this country got the worst spirit they could ever get, Brother Gentry. They got a religious spirit. And that'll damn a nation and damn a fellow to hell quicker than anything. We're going to sing God bless America and God help us and God protect us from these evil Muslims while we rape and murder and fornicate and live like the devil and kick them out of the school and out of the government and out of everything.
Amen.
Amen. I know some of you won't amen that, bless God. You ain't got the guts to. You know what I'm saying is right. And it wasn't a year later, everybody was back just like they were. They forgot what happened to those towers. They forgot about God. They forgot about praising the Lord. They dropped out of church. They didn't have a plug nickel to put in the plate.
Right.
And now we're twice the child of hell in this country because now we got some kind of religious thing like, God's on our side. They came over here and attacked us, so God's on our side to get the evil Muslims. What about the evil Americans? See, I know some of you don't like that. What about the wicked, godless Americans? We got no excuse. The Quran ain't supposed to be our book over here. It's supposed to be the Bible.
Amen.
It ain't telling us to go kill people that we don't agree with. Why don't you read that King James Bible and do what God tells you to do?
Amen. That's good.
A bunch of self-righteous people is what we are. We think God owes it to us and God entitles it to us because we wave an American flag.
Amen.
You're nuts. Let me just say this, in case I haven't made somebody mad here this morning. I want to get everybody. The Republican Party, contrary to what Fox News says, is not going to save this country.
Amen.
You can take Bill O'Reilly, and you can take Sean Hannity, and you can take Megyn Kelly, and all the rest of them crazy people on there, and you can throw them out the window.
Amen. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Now, I know it's been a long time since the Democrats could ever do anything. That liberal, ungodly outfit, we won't even talk about them. But some of you folks are, well, I'll tell you what, we just need a good Republican in the White House. You're nuts. You're cuckoo. You've watched too much news. Why don't you turn the news off and quit watching it 24 hours a day and get in your King James Bible and get back to reality. You know what the Bible says, in case some of you would like to know, because Sean Hannity ain't going to tell you, and Bill O'Reilly ain't going to tell you, but I'll tell you this morning, how about that? The Bible says, not that the Republican Party, or an independent, or Donald Trump helps a nation, the Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation. And I don't care who you put in the White House, bless God, it turns into an outhouse when you don't have a righteous nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. So I want Trump. Listen, he is better than Hillary. That's all I'll say for him. He's a scumbucket too. You got any hopes that Donald Trump's going to do anything for this country? You're crazy. What this country needs is repentance toward God. You say, well, my goodness, Brother Dennis, what do you want me to know in light of all this? Well, I want you to know that we cannot have a great country without God. I want you to know that judgment is coming. He promised it. It's coming. God's going to tear our little playhouse down. Don't worry about what the Dow Jones is doing. Don't worry about Wall Street. Don't worry about the employment rate. Don't worry about our military. Don't worry about none of that. It don't matter. God laughs at that. He laughs at all that. You think you're down here doing something? You say, well, is there any affirmative, positive message for me, Brother Dennis? Let's see if we can find a little. Okay, I will. I want to start, sorry, just to end it negative. Just say, go home and think about that. But we won't. Take your Bibles, turn to one passage today, and we'll be finished. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. Now, let me tell you what I believe. Like I said, if you want to pray that country turn back to God and all, help yourself. I'm not going to mock you. I think you're wasting your time. I think you're just wasting your time. But if that's what you want to do, amen. I mean, it's better not doing anything, I guess. But guess what? In this country, though, you can be a righteous person. Your family can be righteous. Your home can be righteous. And thank God this church can be righteous. We don't have to go the way the rest of the world's going. We don't have to live by this philosophy that we can have a great country or a great life without God. We can not only say that we don't believe that, but bless God, we can live that like we don't believe it. We can say, hey, I don't believe we can have a great life and a great home and a great church and a great community and a great country without God. And you say, so how should we react to that? I think Paul put it best in Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15, he says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Listen, in the midst, right in the middle of, a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You say, what can I do? We are in the midst of a perverse and crooked nation. And God wants us to stand up and be a beacon, a lighthouse. Shine some light on this darkness. How do we do that? We do it by keeping a righteous church. Amen. That doesn't get a marred testimony out of this community. Where people can come in and hear about Jesus Christ. have a preacher preach against their sin. Have a preacher lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a preacher magnify the Scriptures Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And when people drive through this dark world, they get up there about on Highway 84 and they start coming and they say, "What's that I see in the sky?" That's a light. Boy, there's a light spinning around up there. Where's that light at? Let's keep going down the road and find that light. There it is! Pleasant Grove Baptist Church.
Amen.
You can be a light as a Christian. We don't have to live like everybody else is living. We don't have to adopt this philosophy. We don't have to go down this road. We can go to bed every night with our heads in our hands praying and saying, "God, if you don't bless us, God, if you don't help us, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. God, help me never to think that I have one thing, that we've done one thing, that we've accomplished anything without you." So the very first thing, and there'll be several parts to this message, is this idea that these people in our nation have, that we can have a great country without God, is very foolish, very wrong. You say, "Do you have anything you want to say about this country?" Yes, I do. I'm glad I'm born in America. I'm glad I'm an American. I thank God for it. I thank God for people in my family that's been in the military, other people, people that die. There's folks in hell right now burning that went out there in a foreign land and got shot to death and went straight into hell because they were not saved. And they did that for me. And they did it for you. And I'm going to give honor to whom honor is due, whether they went to hell or not. I appreciate what they've done. But judgment is coming to this country. God is not going to wink at what we're doing here. And if you and I think we can have a great anything without God being involved and God running the thing and us consulting God and seeing what He says about it, we're crazy. Now, when we give this invitation, if you want to come up here and pray for this country, you help yourself. Like I said, I think you're wasting your time. I think there's nothing but inevitable judgment. I'll tell you what you can do. You can pray for yourself. You can pray for your wife. You can pray for your husband. You can pray for your family. And for God's sake, pray for this church that we will be a bright light, blameless, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Ever had